Online dating is a powerful way to meet many new people, but it sculpts behavior that actually leads us away from real intimacy. Stay tuned to this episode to learn how that happens and how you can extract the good from your online dating experience and avoid the harmful.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and I'm a psychotherapist, the author of the book Deeper Dating, and the host of this show, and I'm so glad to have you here. Today, we're going to talk about really transformative hacks that you can use to change your experience in online dating. This week and every week, I'm going to share the greatest tools that I know to help you find love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process. Because the skills of dating are really the skills of intimacy, and those are certainly the greatest skills of all for a happy and rich life. And if you want to learn more about this approach, you can go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. There you can get transcripts of every episode. You can learn lots more about my work and hear about other ways to work with me and other people's work that I really respect. So I just want to say that everything I talk about here is educational in nature. It is not medical or psychiatric advice. And if you're experiencing any serious psychiatric or psychological symptoms or conditions, please seek professional help. Also, I just want to say that it is greatly appreciated. There are just such beautiful, amazing reviews on iTunes and elsewhere. And I thank you so much. And if anybody would be interested in leaving a review, that's always a tremendous, tremendous gift. So we're going to jump right in. In 1995, that was the advent of online dating. And with that advent, the world changed. The number of matches that people can experience is different now than it was in the old days. The numbers are huge. They're vast. I think there are something like over 18,000 swipes a second on Tinder and billions of matches made over time on all of the different sites, like literally billions. The numbers are astounding. The number of matches is astounding that we can now have access to. But interestingly, in 1995, about 42% of Americans were single. Now today, 45% are single, according to Pew and according to the census. So obviously, there are a lot of different conditions that relate to that. There's a lot more cohabitation. That goes up consistently. There are social factors that change things as well. However, the number is so significant of how many matches are made, and it's so significant how fewer marriages there are now. That's got to say something, and we need to look at why. And I think a big part of why is because online dating excels in generating matches, and it fails miserably in creating an environment of real intimacy. And what is intimacy? As I understand, an environment of intimacy that will help people meet is a quality of warmth in the interaction, a quality of emotional safety in the interactions and in the platform, a sense of fun, because fun is a big deal, and a sense of inspiration, where somehow there's some kind of a structure where you can get to see the best parts of people and show them the best parts of you. I've been working very, very hard with my husband to create an alternative site that allows that. And we've just launched, it's called deeperdating.com. So do feel free to visit that because that's going to be growing. But I want to talk about this dilemma in online dating. And I want to talk about it from two different perspectives. I want to talk about it from the perspective of the swipe generation. I was just quoted in the Times a while back about what I call swipe circuitry. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And I'm going to talk about those of us who are using swipe apps, some of the pitfalls and how to get around those pitfalls, because they're significant and they're illustrative. They teach us something important about intimacy. And then I want to talk to all of the folks that are not using swipe apps and websites, particularly people who are a little bit older, because we have very different experience. I'm almost 64 and I'm married, but I relate. We have a very different online experience than people in their 20s and 30s. I was just listening to some research about this. It turns out that like 70-something percent of college students who use Tinder have literally never met anybody. And they haven't wanted to, because some huge percentage does Tinder, does these swiping apps, for two kind of blended reasons. Boredom and distraction, that's one reason. And the other reason is a kind of dopamine drip, like the kind of self-confidence boosting feeling of having somebody express interest in you. That's the level of removal that we are living at. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But I think that also as we get older, we don't experience so much this wild, insane proliferation of matches as we experience not enough good matches and a kind of dry terrain, or just like a lot of jerks out there, or people just looking for hookups, which everybody experiences in online dating. But I want to talk about all of these situations, these two major categories, and I want to offer some tools and some insights that I think are, they kind of universalize into the entire intimacy journey. So first, I'm going to talk a little bit about what it's like for those of us who are getting older and are not doing that swipe thing. And the truth is that, like, as you get older, when you reach a certain age, you do not get as many matches. That's not true for everyone, but it's true for a lot of people. And so I want to acknowledge that as a reality. And I want to say two things. One thing is that as we get older and we're using online dating, which is a great thing to use, it's really important to look for and try a number of different sites. Particularly as we get older, we get kind of clearer on what we want and what we don't want. And we want sites that help us filter. But this is for everybody, by the way. We want sites that help us filter things like values, passions, interests, involvement in the world, things that show a deeper character. And some websites allow you to do that kind of searching for kind of deeper values and passions and interests. And that's a really great thing. You want to look for that. And even the giant behemoth sites like Match allow you to do a lot of different filtering. And you really do want to do that. Online dating tries to sculpt a world of numbers, immediacy, and superficiality. It works as a business model, and it works because it keeps people interested. And we need to use the tremendous, tremendous gift of online dating, which is the number of possible matches and connections. But we want to do it in a wiser way. We want to occupy and take back the online dating experience to really kind of extract the value from it. Now, this is the meta point that I want to make, and it's around all of this, is that everything is kind of a microcosm of a bigger picture of how we do things. How we eat tells us a lot about who we are. How we relate to people tells us a lot about who we are. How we date online tells us a lot about who we are. And because we're interfacing with an environment that in some ways brings out our most immature and superficial qualities, because it focuses so much on numbers. That's very, very illuminating because we can see, all right, what am I doing in online dating that is not from my place of deepest intimacy, that is not from the place of my core gifts or my gift zone? Because whatever that is going to work infinitely less well. So we can all, just like we can do in any arena of our life, and this is an incredibly worthy thing to do, is to say, how am I, and this is for everybody, how am I using online dating in a way that is acting out some patterns and some habits that I know are not my highest good, are not my highest self? Maybe they're based in a judgmentalness or an impatience or an irritation or a quick sexualization of experiences. Whatever it is, all of us can look at kind of, because we all have clay feet when it comes to love. All of us do. And those of us that can admit it are gold, because that's just an act of growth and commitment to goodness. And that commitment to see the ways in which our habits keep us away from love or don't allow love to flourish, that's intimacy greatness when we do that. And that's the main ingredient that's going to keep our relationship alive as things get difficult and rocky. Harville Hendricks, a teacher whose work I deeply respect, he says, there comes a time in every relationship where the thing you most need from your partner is the thing that they are least able to give you. And often we think that's the end of love, but it's not. It's the beginning of love. That's the beginning of the deep character shift work that both of you do together that creates a future that's based on solidity, commitment, integrity, and the wonder of mutual growth. So every way in which you have clay feet, every way in which you're doing online dating in a way that is not kind of the most intimate, those are things to notice, because if you address them here, guaranteed, in your next relationship, in their own iteration, they will show up in different ways, and you will have gained skills to address that. So, what are some things that people do in online dating? What are some examples of this? Well, having worked with so many clients and having been an online dater for so many years, I think that one thing that happens is we get jaded. I think that's a huge thing. And the research here, by the way, is really interesting. It says that because of the huge quantity of connections possible in online dating, our behavior is sculpted so that we are less likely to really appreciate and value the people we meet because there are so many more people ahead of us. This is a very silly example, but I think it relates. So we finally, a while back, were able to get a whole bunch of Clorox wipes for the house. And we were like hoarding every Clorox wipe, you know, at the beginning of this pandemic. Like, wow, we're going to be so careful with it. We're going to use it again and again. And then all of a sudden, we got in this shipment of Clorox wipes, which at that point was kind of a little miracle. And all of a sudden, the packs started disappearing. And my husband said to me, this is the abundance problem. And I said, yeah, it's true. We are treating these Clorox wipe packages as so much less precious because we have so many of them now. And that's human behavior. But when human behavior melds with an environment that is built to keep putting new people in front of us to the degree that people actually, and I think most of us or all of us know this experience of kind of just looking around, but only being half there. And if somebody doesn't call to us immediately because they're really hot or really sexy or really spicy or really attractive, we move on. But picture you're at a party, right? Picture you're at a party with like a small number of people and you're sitting on the sofa and there's four or five people around you. Remember those days when we were doing that? And let's say one of the people is someone who you might be able to be interested in. You're watching them. You're noticing them. They wouldn't have instantly appealed to you, but there are qualities in this person that you find kind of sexy or kind of funny or wonderful. You notice this person because it's just a few people. You never would have noticed this in a big crowd. The same thing happens in online dating, but at any given point, there are vast numbers of people. So when people don't super spark our interest, we move on. When we're bored and we're just trying to get a little tiny dopamine drip going, we move on, we move on, we move on. When we don't move on and we reach out to someone and they respond back, a lot of different things could happen. One is now it's becoming work. Now it's gone from la, 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 I'm just like looking through, who's going to be amazing? All of a sudden it's work, because it's work. It's work to meet a new person. And unless they're just like completely, completely your exact type, and research shows that often those people turn you on that much because they embody in part the worst characteristics of your primary caregivers. And you're wanting to go back to the scene of the original crime to finally get loved right. So barring those people, those super exciting, total like hotties, we often bypass people. We don't take the time because there are all of a sudden so many choices that we could make. And this is a powerful, powerful online dating hack. It's to slow down. It's something I've talked about before, but I'm going to be talking about it in a little bit of a different way now. Slowing down, because every one of those people who is anywhere in the range of, oh, maybe if I like this person's voice, I could be attracted. Or if this person had a nice body, I could be attracted. Or if this person was smart, I could be attracted. Or who knows what. In other words, people who, like, you don't instantly know, I'm totally hot for this person, but who are somewhere potentially in the ballpark. You feel like, well, you know, if I really like them, yeah, I could picture they're in the terrain where there could be a spark. All of those people we don't have time for, we bypass them because it takes work. It takes work to reach out. It takes work, it takes vulnerability. Then it takes work to set up a phone call. It takes work to set up a date. And God knows, these days, it takes more work to do that. So what I encourage is that we slow down and we look for character qualities. Because I'm telling you, and I've said this before, when we make the choice that we are only going to be with someone who inspires us with their goodness, their integrity, and their solidity, our world changes, our future changes. There's some really smart people who know that to begin with. And usually they're the ones who are in good relationships, but there are the rest of us that don't know that, or we think we know it, but we learn that we need more discrimination. That's why I teach the main question being, does my soul feel safe with this person? Because, and I get emails from people all the time, really thanking me for this one particular insight. And this was actually the insight that Oprah excerpted from my book. It's that we're looking for circuitries of attraction, of inspiration, where we're attracted to someone, but we're also attracted because of their character, their goodness, their decency, their presence, their availability. They're willing to be present. When you find somebody like that, and they're good, and they're decent, and they're interested in you, that's happiness in love. Sometimes it doesn't feel quite as spicy in the beginning. Sometimes it feels wonderful, but then as you see the person's not going anywhere, and they're really interested, and they're really just plain decent, you start thinking that they're boring. This is a deep one for me, and I was single for decades because of that. What I came to realize is that that initial feeling of what I call boringness, which is kind of the lack of an edge, a scary edge, if it's replaced by fierce and brave integrity, creativity, intelligence, intrepid ways of thinking and communicating and living. In other words, if there is some edge there, but it's like a fabulous, healthy, adventurous edge instead of a cocky, nasty, superior edge, which I used to be drawn to all the time. As we learn to change our tastes, our future changes. And it's so important that we use our online dating experience to do that as well. That means a few things. It means slowing down. It means definitely filtering for these qualities that interest you. It means that when you're just kind of biding time or wasting time, you realize that everyone you're bypassing could have been like one of those four or five people on the sofa that you could have ended up having a relationship with. These are all beings. These are all precious beings. And when you can slow down enough to say, all right, I'm going to have to go slower here. I'm going to start by filtering to make my odds better. And then I'm going to slow down and I'm going to see the human being here. And I'm going to budget the time, because we have to budget the time to meet these people. And I'm going to try not to drop the ball and get to know them. And you will know pretty quickly if the person has qualities of integrity. You will know if they have qualities of jerkiness. You'll know that really, really quickly. If they pass that gate, you'll get to the next gate. You'll communicate with them. You'll see what kind of beings they are, if they inspire you, if they touch you, if you like what they say. And then you've gotten to the next gate. And I want to say that younger people who are doing swipe circuitry and older folks who are doing more like websites, all of us have to do the same thing. We have to see, okay, what are the kind of predispositions I'm going in with that block intimacy? And why don't you take a minute right now, everybody, and just think, you should be able to figure this out. What am I doing that is not kind of the highest place of intimacy? Because I get so seduced by the numbers and immediacy of online dating, or I'm so jaded and annoyed and disappointed that I go in with a wall up. Or I go in and don't really put the time in or the care, and I let people go. These are all huge learnings, and you might want to just take a minute and think, what's true for you? This is how we gain wisdom. And I'm telling you that that wisdom changes our future in love. If you can figure out some ways that you could bring a little more wisdom and a little less habituated, unhelpful behavior to your online dating, you will see a difference. And I want to hear about what that difference is. So you could just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and you can click Ask Ken and you can leave a message. And I get wonderful, wonderful messages and questions from people who are using these techniques, simple, basic intimacy wisdom techniques, and seeing shifts happen and having questions about what comes next. So I want to really encourage people to do that. I want to hear from you. What did you learn about what you could do differently in your online dating experience? That's going to help so many people. And I'm going to share the things I hear. So everybody who could do that, I would so appreciate it. Call in, use this Ask Ken icon on deeperdatingpodcast.com. You could just speak whatever it is that you want to say about where you get stuck. What are some habituated patterns that haven't been helping you? What are you trying differently and how's it working? Because that's going to be kind of crowdsourced intimacy gold. So thank you all for listening. As always, it's a joy to get to connect with you. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast. And I encourage you to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com, join my mailing list, leave a review if you like, and have a wonderful week.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.